This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now. Welcome back to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We're your hosts, James and Maria Collins. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Today, we are going to dive into the topic of balancing screen time and play time for kids. We're in the middle of a parenting series, and I think this is a very relevant topic for the digital age that we live in today.
Yeah, I love this topic because it amazes me how much technology is available for kids, for all of us. But kids have less judgment on how bad that can be for them. And it's so important as a parent to understand that and be able to limit the amount of time that they are utilizing the technology and make sure you're monitoring and you know what your kid is using while they are using the technology. Because it's not just the technology, but what are you allowing their eyes to see, their ears to hear, their mind to record it. And that will impact their lives forever.
Yeah, the fact is digital devices have become ubiquitous in our society. Everybody's got one, whether it's a cell phone or a tablet or a TV screen, a computer screen. It's everywhere we go. We work on them. We play on them. We get our news from them. We interact and communicate with each other through them. And it's kids just have such ready access to that kind of stuff today that we as parents have to be the ones to be mindful of, like you said, not just the amount of time that our kids are spending engaging with these devices, but also what kind of content are we allowing our kids to access?
Yeah, there's some things out there that I'm like, why are you watching this? Like, why would you even want to watch this?
Yeah.
It I don't understand. But
then for us too, like, because you know, our Christian values are so important to us. It's really important to us because you and I understand, like, there's spiritual warfare at play at all times against everyone, but we're aware of it for our family and for our kids. And it's really important to us to shield our kids as much as we can from things that their eyes shouldn't see, from that their ears shouldn't hear.
Yeah. And I have shared here before in the episode about fear, right? How seeing things on TV have impacted my life, my level of fear of other things, of what could happen, because then my mind is always was thinking about all of those things that I saw on TV.
Yeah.
And so that's why, right, we as parents, that's why I'm so intentional about that. And I'm always paying attention of what they're seeing, what they are hearing, and make sure that they understand what that can impact them.
Yeah. And so today what we want to share with our listeners is a little bit of the benefits and the drawbacks of, again, technology being so ubiquitous in our society, because there are benefits and drawbacks to it. So we'll talk through those, but then we, like we always do, we want to share some advice and guidance to help others be mindful and intentional about balancing that screen time so that, you know, your kids do get the benefits of it, but you also are being intentional about balancing that time and making sure that you limit the drawbacks as much as possible.
It amazes me how fast they can learn those things.
Yeah.
And for us, sometimes it takes so long. Well, and they're just like touching and moving. And
even as babies, right? Yeah. It's really interesting to me how well they've designed the user interfaces of these devices. They've made them so intuitive that even babies can figure out how to make the screens work, swiping left and right and, you know, clicking on the icons, and everything just, it flows so seamlessly that even babies can do it. It just amazes me.
Yeah. So let's talk about why it is important for us to limit, right? We said a little bit overall, but let's go into more deeply.
Yeah, so we talked about there's benefits and drawbacks, right? Some of the benefits are there's educational use mm-hmm. within devices. We learned that in 2020 when the pandemic happened. Everybody went to learning on devices. It was every home became a homeschool, right?
Yeah.
And we learned through, you know, there's classes online, there's courses, there's Zooms and masterminds. And, you know, we both work on Zoom calls a lot, or work through courses, you know, that you can take online. Same thing exists for kids. So there is that educational benefit that kids can get. We also talked about like how intuitive the user interfaces are and how early kids can pick it up. And that's an important skill for kids to have. As we go forward, technology is only going to become more and more prevalent in our lives. And it's important that kids learn technical skills and learn how to adapt to technology as it grows and changes over time. So that is another benefit to giving your kids exposure to devices and technology, is they learn how to pick those things up and get a feel for it.
How fast you can search for things. When I was a kid, like, you had to go to the library, you have to buy books. What was those books that came all together? What was it called?
The encyclopedia.
Yes. You got to go read them, like, look, search for it from A, B, C, like, all the way to Z. What are you looking for? Or go to the library and look for books and read. And now you can
we're aging ourselves now because, I mean, when you and I were growing up, that's so funny. Like, I remember now that you mentioned encyclopedias. I wrote entire research papers using nothing but encyclopedias and books that I found through a card catalog in a library.
Yeah.
And now it's at our fingertips, right? Like, we're living in an information age where literally mm-hmm. you can Google anything and in a split second have access to so much information about that topic.
Even when I wrote my paper after college, like my last paper to graduate from college, it was all on books. I didn't have a laptop. It was like old kind of computers and like the ones that you got to plug in and then you got to wait for the internet to
your connect. Bachelor's degree you're
yes,
talking about.
Yes, my bachelor's degree is not.
I was about to say, you had not, a computer.
Not an MBA. I did my MBA here, but this is back in 2007. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, we didn't have our first personal computer at home until my senior year of high school.
I did have a computer. It wasn't so fast like it is. I wrote the paper on the computer, but the searching, the internet that we have today, mm-hmm. it wasn't like that back then. So I did have to go after the books. Yeah. I did have to go to the libraries.
You had the dial-up internet.
And get, yes, that's what it was, the dial-up internet, yeah. To get the physical books, read them, and pick the parts that I wanted to take it out. Mm. Nowadays, you can just AI everything and ask AI, where do I get this? Where do I get that? Like, it's not even Google anymore. Yeah. It's the AI to bring it all up. But let's go back to the kids. Sorry. Where were we with it? We went way in the rabbit hole.
Educational use, learning to adapt to technology. And then technology and device use can also be a source of social connection for kids.
You're saying social connection about...
Like shared interests,
Yeah. Right?
So like they play the same games and then they talk about those games and they share tactics and best practices on how to beat this level or that sort of thing. Or,
but also like for me, right, my family is from Brazil. I'm from Brazil. So when COVID hit, that everybody learned about Zoom. We were using that like since 2010 when I moved here.
Right.
We used Skype and then Zoom blew up when COVID happened because everybody had to figure out how to work with it.
You were using WhatsApp for
Skype, all kinds of video chats to be able to talk to my family and see my family. Mm-hmm. So that is another way of connection from being distant and far away, being able to see your loved ones, see your friends while you're talking to them. And that makes a difference.
Yeah. Our kids like to talk to my mom on Facebook Messenger because it has all the little fun things that you can do to, you know, put the filters that you can put on your face. And, you know, so they used to play around with that. But it was a good way to engage. And they got to see grandma, but also have a little bit of fun along the way.
Yeah, but there are like what you're saying. There's so many games and books and things that will help for the development and the learning of your kid. But there's also, you know, if you just let them on their own, they're of course going to pick the other things that are not so good for their development.
Yep. So let's go into some of the drawbacks then. So according to recent studies, there was one of those includes a 2023 JAMA Pediatrics report where they tracked children from age 1 to age 4. And they determined that kids who had regular screen exposure or a higher level of screen exposure, by the age of 2 to 4, they experienced significant development delays compared to kids in the study with less screen time. So that's one of the things that I learned too in the early childhood development class that I took right when we had Zoe as my last semester of college. I finished 2 months after we had Zoe, but I intentionally chose an elective class on early childhood development because we were expecting Zoe during that time. And that's one of the things that I learned through that class was these studies that were starting to come out. This was back in 2016, but even then, they were doing studies on screen time, television time, video games. That used to be all there was for you and I growing up was TV and video games. And now, like we talked about, it's everywhere. And, you know, there's all these different apps and devices and everything else. And so one of the things that I had learned through that early childhood development class was the negative impact that had on brain development for young children to be exposed to things like television. So one of the things I found interesting was speech development was hindered for infants who were exposed to television a lot. And what it did, the way that they explained it, was it confuses their little brains because they would hear words coming out of the television, but there's not always somebody's mouth moving along with the words.
Yeah, because they learn from mimicking, from mirroring what their parents do, right? So if there's nobody moving their mouth, and they're still talking, like for them, it's like, how do I do that?
So it confused their brains because sometimes you've got somebody who's off camera who's speaking. Sometimes it's a voiceover or whatever. And that's one of the ways that they explain like that, the speech development specifically within a young child's brain being hindered by excessive television exposure. Another negative outcome to excessive screen time are things like sleep disruption. We're learning a lot these days about blue light effects on our circadian rhythm patterns and how that's impacting our sleep at night for adults and children alike. But that's also having a downstream impact on kids' ability to concentrate and learn in class because they're sleep deprived.
And now think about how many cases of ADHD or happening nowadays than we would hear before.
Yeah.
Because these kids were spending so much time in technology, and then you connect to it most of times a poor diet, high in sugar, you know, their brain go all crazy, and then you want the kid to sit still. You
high
want
in sugar and processed foods with preservatives and everything else, yeah. and then lack of adequate sleep because of blue light exposure and
the stimulation in the brain, they can't shut it down. Like I see on our kids sometimes when they are using the technology and I tell them to turn it off, they have a big reaction. Mm-hmm. Like I say, they become a little monsters because they don't want to detach from that.
Yeah, it's like an addict.
Exactly. And that's what it shows me that's most important too. Now we are turning it off now. Mm-hmm. And even before we start watching, I usually tell them it's going to be this amount of time. You're playing on your tablet for this amount of time. We put a timer on. And as the timer comes off, you got to turn it off. Or the TV, we're going to watch one show, or we're going to do, like, we limit it. We tell them before, so then they're not surprised when I say, okay, it's time to turn it off. Or if the alarm comes off, they know, right? But going back to the what it does, how it makes the brain overstimulated, right? And then when they go to school, it's so hard for them to sit still, to pay attention, to focus, because they're not being trained to do that out of that environment, right? As soon as they leave the school, and nowadays there's not just, like you said, right? It's not just TV, video game, it's TV, it is video game, it is tablet, and then there's a phone, and now there's a watch. It is everywhere. Like, you can't be free from it.
Yeah, and then the piece that I think is maybe most concerning is all of this addiction and obsession that kids have with devices is leading to a lack of physical movement, a lack of getting up and playing
and being and going social outside and talking to people, because it is so different to talk to somebody online than to talk to somebody in person.
Yeah.
There's so many people, they're so brave of commenting, of, you know, talking whatever in their mind out when they're online, but in person, they don't open their mouth.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. But the point I was going to make was the obesity rates in children in America have skyrocketed in recent years. I was doing some research, and a national survey of children's health from 2021 to 2022 showed that 17% of youth ages 10 to 17 are considered obese.
But what does that have to do with the technology?
Well, it's just all of their time on technology means less time outdoors playing, or even indoors playing, but like physical activity is necessary.
Absolutely.
Especially considering the diets that we've already talked about that most kids in America are exposed to. Like, we need more and more physical activity to combat poor diets. And what they're getting is less physical activity because they're spending more time sitting down in front of a screen.
It's so crazy because driving the kids to school, I drive by a high school, and those kids, and it's like school time when you got to drive 20 is the speed limit. So we go very slow, and I see all these kids, and most of them don't watch where they're walking because they're looking at their phone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm like, how can you do that?
Yeah. So one of the reports that I looked at said that children aged 8 to 12 spend an average of 4 to 6 hours per day of screen time.
Say it again.
Children aged 8 to 12 spend an average of 4 to 6 hours a day.
What a waste
in front of
life.
A screen. What's worse is teenagers average 9 hours a day, excluding educational use.
So they don't do anything else.
Exactly.
That is crazy.
They're literally spending, and you can see it, like they're walking in the halls at school.
Like I said,
head down.
I see these kids walking the street with, I'm like, somebody's going to hit you. Like, you're not looking.
They're literally spending every waking moment, it seems, in front of a screen. That's... engaged in some form or fashion with the device.
I don't want that for my kids.
Neither do I, which is why we're being mindful about it and why we're talking about it tonight.
More than talk about and more than just tell them, we got to lead by example. Because we all, in our house, because we tell them, no technology, this is family time. They tell us the same thing. You're on technology right now. Noah goes to my office. It's like, I can't be on technology, but you're on your computer. I was like, I'm working. I have other options.
Yeah.
But they are very conscious to tell us the same thing, right? So another thing now that I'm very intentional is to not just tell them I'm working, because most of the time when I'm on my phone, I'm doing something that I, you know, if I'm with them or trying to multitask at sometimes and being intentional to put the phone down. And that's my time with them. Even if it's work, whatever that is, it can wait. So then we can have that interaction. And I'm not just telling them you can, but I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not leading by example.
That's right.
And that's not going to do anything for them.
Yeah.
By showing them and explaining to them, I don't want this to impact me and all of that, it helps them to then mirror what we're doing and how we're living our lives.
Yeah. I think it is important to explain to kids. There is a difference between adults utilizing technology to get things done versus kids who are mostly just utilizing technology for fun. But it's also important, like you're talking about, for us to hold ourselves accountable. And we allow our kids to hold us accountable when we are just mindlessly scrolling on our phones and not paying attention to our kids and not being present with our kids. They'll call us out on that at times. And especially if they're not being allowed to engage in screen time at that point, and we're on our phones distracted from them, they'll call us out on that. And we've got to hold ourselves accountable. We have to be willing to accept that in the moment and tell them you're right and show them by example how we can put that thing away and refocus on what's more important in the moment.
Remember the conversation we had once at a restaurant before having any kids? You looked at me. We were in a restaurant. There's a family with a kid, and the kid has the phone or a tablet, whatever. And I remember he looked at me and he said, our kids are never going to do that. And I said, don't say that. Because I was an au pair and a nanny for 4 years already. Mm-hmm. And I already understood that you can use the technology in the right time for the right way. And it can help you. Right. So I said, don't say that because you don't know. And there have been times that we allow our kids to have the phone or not the tablet. We never take the tablet with us, but you gave them your phone to watch something at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when we were in Florida in our vacation, they would be falling asleep on the table. So we would let them watch something so they could be awake until finish eating and go back so they can sleep because they were so tired from having fun all day at the beach. So it's that balance of understanding when is the right time, what are they seeing, because we do both work from home and sometimes the kids don't have school or, you know, in the afternoon we do have things. I have to go and do some things that I couldn't accomplish in the morning. And then I do sometimes, like we are using right now, our kids are watching something so they can be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I need that quiet to be able to focus on my work and be able to accomplish what I need. And then they are having their time with a movie, but we are always approving what movie they're going to watch. What are they going to do? We don't just let them be and choose whatever.
They also weren't watching TV all afternoon long leading up to this, because we knew we're going to be recording a podcast tonight. Our kids are going to be allowed to watch a movie while we record the podcast. So they were playing and being physical all afternoon leading up to this.
Yeah, and it's almost every day when I pick up Noah from preschool, he asks me, "Mommy, can I get home and play my tablet?" And I always say, "I will think about it. We'll make that decision later." And today we were coming home and he said, "Mommy, can I play on my tablet?" And I said, "No, not when we get home, because Mommy and Daddy got to do the podcast. So you'll be able to have some technology later on." And so he was like, "Can I watch TV?" And I said, "No, the same applies for you. And you both can have some technology, but that will be when Mommy and Daddy needed to go do that." Mm-hmm. So another thing is talking about letting them be, right? It's a conversation I had with Zoe in the car the other day. I picked her up from school and she asked me, "Mommy, why don't you let me watch YouTube Kids?" And I explained to her, when I let my kids watch things like on Netflix or Prime, they have the age group and they show the age, right? Some of them is like 7+, or they have all kinds of PG, whatever. And I always look at that, and I taught them how to look at it. Noah's still 5, so he's not allowed to watch the 7+ things. Zoe can watch some of that if she's by herself. But when they are together, she's not allowed to watch that because he's still 5. And there's things on those shows that I don't want him to see yet.
And there's things on those shows that we don't want Zoe to see.
Yeah.
And she's not just allowed to watch anything that says 7+, right? We pay attention to what they're watching, and we've told her, "Hey, I don't like this. Let's turn this off. Let's find something else." Because again, the language in it doesn't match mm-hmm. what we want our kids to see, or the attitude we're seeing from other kids in the shows that they're watching isn't what we want our kids to demonstrate. So, you know, we're mindful about calling that out and not just allowing them to watch anything because it has an age bracket on it.
Exactly. And that's my answer to her when she was asking about the YouTube Kids. I said, what YouTube think it's appropriate for kids, it's not what I think it's appropriate for you. It doesn't align with our values.
Especially YouTube, because it's got ads that you can't control. And some of the ads that I've seen on YouTube Kids, it blows my mind that it's allowed.
It's not okay. Like, it's totally out of control. And just because they put the word kids there, it makes parents think that that's okay. And it's absolutely not. Mm. If you don't know what your kid is watching, your kid is in danger. And even the things that Zoe wants to watch, if it's a new show or something, I'll say, you can do that when Mommy and Daddy are in the room and we can watch some of it and make sure we can approve. Mm-hmm. And usually we start the thing and I'm saying, I don't like it. And she'll ask me, why not? Usually some of the shows that they have for kids are not her age. They're teenagers. I don't want her acting like a teenager. Mm-hmm. She already has some behaviors and attitudes that I think is older than what she should be having. I don't want her watching teenagers acting and starting being all sassy and having attitude. No, this is not how we act. This is not our values, and this is not in accordance to the one we want to leave.
Yeah, and just some of the subject matter that gets put into kids' shows these days, it's like Disney's become one of the worst. You can't trust your kid to watch anything from Disney anymore because from a Christian worldview, it just doesn't align.
But Bluey. And Bluey's not from Disney. It's from Australia.
Yeah. I mean, there are some things that from Disney that are okay that our kids are allowed to watch and that even you and I enjoy. But it's gotten to the point now where we can't just trust turning something on that we've never seen on Disney and allowing our kids to watch it. So you and I have even watched some things ahead of allowing our kids to watch it. Or a lot of times what I'll do is I'll just Google it and get some reviews from people who are like-minded and have similar values and morals. And listen or read what they say about the movie before we allow our kids to watch it. And then even then, like if I read something online and I think a movie sounds okay for our kids to watch, I'll still sit down and watch it with them to make sure that it's not something that disagrees or is misaligned with who we are, what our values are.
Yeah. And another thing that I learned with my kids is, you know, recently I was like, okay, I'm going to be more restricted with the amount of time that they are on technology, right? I was being more flexible. Sometimes I'm working and I lose track of time and I'm like, oh no, it's past too long. So I have been putting more alarms on. And at the beginning, right, when I said, when I would say, hey, it's time to turn it off, they would throw a fit or, you know, start saying, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. And I would say, go figure it out. Play with your fingers. Count your fingers. Go play with rocks outside. Go throw balls. Go count your toys. You want work? I have work for you to do. Go clean something. Go put dishes away. There's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. You just got to figure it out. And so at the beginning was hard, but now Noah, when he turns it off, he just starts playing with his cars and he's all the ramps and the monster trucks and cars and races. And he creates this whole thing and he's like on the floor and flipping cars and doing all of that.
Using his imagination.
Exactly. So because he was using the technology, he was so lazy, right? Quote unquote lazy with their brain. Hmm. Because you don't do anything. You're fed. Technology just fed you. You don't have to think. You don't have to be creative. You don't have to do nothing. Just sit there and watch.
No.
And having him do that, force him to go play, is just, and now I see the difference. It's so much easier for him to find something to do. Even him and Zoe go play board games and go play other stuff, go outside, go do something, go figure it out. And we
try to do a lot of those things as a family. We go on walks together. We'll go let the kids ride bikes and walk around the neighborhood, or let the kids go outside and play in the front street. There's kids in our street that are similar age as them, so all the kids will get out and, you know, play with balls or scooters or I played the other night. There's the four kids that are right next door. Then there's two kids across the street, and actually three kids across the street in two different homes. And all of them were out with our two playing hide and seek the other night. And there was a four house hide and seek. They were literally going between all four houses, like all four homes and backyards were within limits to hide in. And it's just funny watching them go from house to house trying to find each other. But it's like we try to do those things with each other as a family, but we're not always able to. Like you and I stay very busy, and sometimes we just don't have the time to break away and sit down and play a board game with our kids. But we do those things when we can. But like you're talking about, even when we can't, we encourage our kids, go play with each other, go play with the neighbors, go outside, go jump on the trampoline, go paint, because Zoe's
so
an artist and just loves to paint and color and draw. And, you know, encourage these things because, number one, it's building those talents. It's building those skills. For Noah, he's such an athletic kid and loves sports. Anything that includes a ball, he's all over it. So I encourage him to go outside and throw the ball and kick the ball and, you know, do those things with the neighbors because they really enjoy soccer like he does. And, you know, it's even when we can't be there and be engaged with our kids, we encourage them to be out and be physical and be active.
It's important for them to play by themselves.
Yeah, sure.
They need to understand. We don't, you know, there's kids, they're attached to parents and they need, like Noah follows me all over the house. He's five and he won't, like when you're gone and Zoe's at school, he will be around me all the time. And I tell him, just bring your cars. You don't have to be far away from me. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But bring your cars and play so I can shower, I can change, I can get ready, and you can be here, but play with your things. And he does. He brings the whole garage to the bathroom, and there's cars all over the place while, you know, I'm getting ready in the morning, and that's okay. But my point is, we as parents, we have the responsibility and we have to monitor. There's many tools out there that you can utilize to limit the time of them being the technology, to control the apps that they use, mm-hmm. and to actually tell them you need to turn it off now.
Yeah.
And they're your kids and they are under your authority. And as long as they are in your house, you are the one. You bought the technology for them, so you can take it away too.
And we do want to encourage our listeners, like, be mindful about spending quality time with your kids outdoors if you can. And I get it. Like, it's not always feasible to be outside. If you live in a cold climate and it's really cold outside, you're not going to be outdoors playing all the time. Or if you live where we are in Texas in the springtime, there's storms out there. You know, you walk outside and you're going to get hit with a hailstone. So, you know, there are going to be days where, you know, being outdoors and being active isn't an option, but there are ways to be active indoors. You know, I play with the kids and wrestle with the kids on the floor and, you know, that sort of thing. We have the little basketball hoop upstairs that we play pig on when we can't go outside. And there's puzzles inside, there's board games, there's ways to engage, like we talked about, drawing and painting and all these different ways to keep the kids active, keep their minds active, get their
imagination
going. Yeah, exactly.
Creativity.
So, yeah. Yes. Take your kids to the park. You know, some of my best memories as a kid were riding our bikes to the park with our parents and flying kites, or just getting to, you know, go play on the playground while my parents were there watching us. You know, some of my best, fondest memories as a kid.
And, like, there are days that our family time is watching movie and we make dinner and we eat dinner in front of TV, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. As long as it's being quality time with family and being intentional. And other times we play games and we have so much fun playing games, and we go outside, we do all kinds of things. So it's not that it's no. There's no way, but it's just, again, right? Creating, finding that balance of, what season are we on? What is important for us right now? What do our kids need at this age and stage that they are in, right? We're about to end summer here, and I'm so excited because there's so many pool time, water time, and we just go, like, they go to the pool every single day, and they loved. And we're blessed that my parents can come and help us during the summer and have fun with them. But then we will do the same on, you know, some days that we can, or the weekends for sure. We're always out there and enjoying the waters and the lake house and the beach if we can. Mm-hmm. We're always, I love being outside and I love being moving, and I'm not a big technology person. I do like some TV. I do use my phone, but it bothers me. Like, if I'm feeling like I feel like it's in control of me. Mm-hmm. It's taking too much of my time. Everything that takes too much of my time, I don't like it. Because then I feel like I'm losing control of myself and becoming under the control of whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if it's watching something, if you have like series that you want to watch and not never stop until the end. Those are the things that I learned, and I made the decision in my youth age that sleeping was a priority for me, and then I want to be healthy, and I would not allow certain things like watching. I grew up in, I was in Brazil at that time, so the soap operas, the novellas, like, I decided not to waste my time watching that, because that those things were not teaching me anything, were not adding value to my life. So why would I waste time watching those things?
Just teach you how to be dramatic. And you've already got that down, so.
Oh, look who's saying. Let's not go there.
All right, so the last thing I just want to touch on, and I think we've touched on a little bit But I just want to call it out very clearly
because let's
I feel like
review.
This is so important. It's not just the amount of screen time or the devices that we're allowing our kids access to. It's what's on those devices, the content, the apps that we allow them to engage in. We talked about like being mindful and intentional about what we allow our kids to watch as far as like TV time, but like the apps that they engage with, the games even that we allow them to play, I think is so important. And especially now with, you see so many predators that utilize the internet and especially social media apps on the internet to target children, even young children. And it's absolutely disgusting, but it's also terrifying. And if you're not intentional, if you're not mindful about what your kids gain access to from an app standpoint, then you can very quickly find yourself in a position where you've lost control over what your kids are seeing, hearing, and who they're engaging with.
Yeah, understand the innocence of their mind. A predator can come and play with your mind, and it can destroy their lives and their future by the way that they talk to them and the way they lie to them. So yes, there's never too much. You're not being too much of overseeing, overlooking, and monitoring and managing technology for your kids. Also, the second point we talked about is lead by example, right? We are in the Legacy Minded Leadership podcast. We lead ourselves first so we can lead others. Show up by example and your kids will follow.
Yeah, so we're going to end there. I think that's about covered all of the points that we wanted to cover tonight. As a quick recap, you know, there's benefits and drawbacks to device time, to screen time. And we want our kids to have exposure to these things, but we don't want them to overdo it. We don't want them to be obsessed or addicted to technology, and certainly not to technology that is detrimental to their development or detrimental to their value system or moral development. And so in order to manage that, it's important to be intentional. It's important to set screen time targets for your family. And like Maria's talking about, not just for your kids, but set screen time targets for yourself as well.
Yes.
Limit the mindless scrolling that you do, because again, everything you do is an example for your kids.
And they are watching.
Absolutely.
And they are seeing every single day.
And so set those screen time targets. Get outside as much as you can with your kids. Go to the park. Go to the community pool. Play, you know, outside in the front yard or in the backyard. You know, go ride bikes together. Do whatever it is that is interesting or fun for you as a family, but do something that's active, something that gets you outdoors, exposed to the sunlight and vitamin D naturally. Yes. And
the allergies, you know, everything that's out there.
I mean, it does so much good. And we could have a whole nother podcast on like just natural sunlight and the benefits of being outdoors and
create memories and creating bonds with your kids and connecting. And that's just going to be good. There's nothing bad about that you're creating for the future and for the legacy of your kids.
Yep. And then even when you can't get outside, be intentional about engaging with your kids indoors or promoting and encouraging activities that don't involve screen time for your kids, even when they can't get outdoors. And then finally, we didn't talk a whole lot about tools, but there are tools too. Parental control apps on, if you're an iPhone user, there's screen time. So if you've got iPhones or iPads, there's a screen time parental control that you can use. For Android users, there's something called Family Link that you can use, and it'll help you gain control over the content that your kids have access to, but also the amount of screen time that they're allowed to have on any one device or multiple devices.
Yeah.
And
for the older kids, right, they were texting and all of that stuff, you can read what they're doing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to do it for this episode. We thank you for spending the time with us, being here with us today, and we hope that you'll continue to come back because we've got lots more in store for you in the future.
Yes, we'll see you next time.
God bless. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com if you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life.